filled with premium. I'm willing to let it go for about $20. If anybody's interested. We got here. We'll see if we get home. All right. Turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, let's start in verse 17, and let's read all the way through the end of the chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And let's ask God to bless our time. Lord Jesus, we sincerely want to bring you honor and glory today. We ask that you would help us, Lord, in the midst of all our cares and troubles and all of our distractions. Lord, help each and every one of us, Lord, to take some time and consider what you have in your word here this morning. Please lift up your name, magnify yourself, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you be free to move in the hearts of those that are in this room here today. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for giving us another day here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is an incredible passage, and verse 17 is a memory verse that many people, when they become Christians, start out. And if you are a new Christian, this is an incredible verse for you to memorize and to hide in your heart. And it describes the incredible, and I don't know that I could think of enough adjectives, enough descriptive words to make this what God has done for us, just to do it justice. And this is the salvation of a soul, the salvation of the soul of a man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This describes this incredible transformation from sin to salvation, from darkness to light. I'm telling you that this transformation salvation. We call it a life changing. Yep. I mean, it's not just something that you do. Hey, you know, I need to lose a little weight, so I'm going to lay off the hot dogs and I'm going to eat something. No, it's not that kind of a change. It's not that kind of a difference. This is something so totally transforming that your creature becomes an absolute new creature. And you get saved and you think, well, you know, I still look the same, I talk the same. Well, you're confusing something. Don't confuse the tabernacle with the real person inside. Peter said in his epistle, he says, I must shortly put off this, my tabernacle. But Peter was going to continue to go on. His body was going to lay in the grave. I'm telling you, what God does for the soul of a man is completely transforming. That's what salvation's all about. Salvation is God taking us from where we were to where he wants us to be. It's the forgiveness of sins. In these next couple of verses after this, after verse 17, we're delving into the subject of reconciliation. And that word has been on my mind, and it's a word that I hope to maybe show you what God is thinking about when he says reconciliation. Let's think about that word for just a few minutes. Let's think about, number one, what it is. the definition of reconciliation. I think you probably understand and know what reconciliation is. And you have several different arenas in life where that could possibly be. You might have two friends that are at odds with each other, and they settle their differences. They bury the hatchet, and they become friends again, and they put aside their differences, and they get back together. That's reconciliation. Reconciliation is when a husband and wife have simply not been able to get along, and believe me, there are differences sometimes in marriage. There's a reason why we call them irreconcilable differences, because sometimes we can just be so far apart from one another. But when you get two parties, a husband and a wife, and they decide to drop their differences and come back together, then that's reconciliation, and that's a big thing. That's a big deal. In Proverbs, it says, a brother that offended is harder to be won than, I don't remember what it says, a city or something like that. It's, the thought is, it's at, what is it? Several people talking to me at once. Never. You guys mumble too much. Speak up. I think it's a strong city. Is what this thing is coming into my mind, a strong city. I think I might have heard you in. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city? Well, yes, you know that's the case. Have you ever been at odds with somebody? You might even be at odds with somebody right now. And man, that's a difficult thing. And one of Jesus' teachings when he's in the book of Matthew, he talks about when somebody is offended, you go to them and you try to make things right. In fact, he says, if you got a gift for the altar and you got something against your brother, you put that thing down, you go make things right with your brother, and then you come offer your gift at the altar. I mean, he makes forgiveness a big deal, and it is a very difficult deal sometimes. And there are some times when it just doesn't seem like it's possible. Reconciliation is a big thing, and consider it in more global terms. Consider how reconciliation is possible. You know, we've had every president since about the mid-60s thought that they were going to be able to do something about Israel and Palestine, about the Palestinians and the Israelis, about the Arabs and the Israelis. And it's just funny almost to watch a new president roll up his sleeves and go over there to the Middle East and see if he can get all these people to play nice in the sandbox together and to love one another and to drop their differences. Anybody have any idea how long the Arab-Israeli conflict has been going on? Some people say, well, you know, since the 1967 war. Some people say since the 1948 war. Some people might say, well, since, you know, Britain had the Balfour Declaration and declared, you know, that there was going to be an area there for the Jews in the land of Palestine. But I'm telling you, it goes back a lot farther than that. It goes back hundreds. It goes back thousands of years. You think some human being in just human power alone is going to go and be able to solve this crisis, to solve? It seems like there are irreconcilable differences between the Arabs and between the Jews, between the Palestinians and between Israel. And when you look at it and you study it, you think, no, there's just no easy solution. There's no easy solution to it. There needs to be reconciliation, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Anybody got any good ideas about how to reconcile North Korea and South Korea right now? How to get the United States, how to get Trump and Kim Jong-il on equal terms with each other? Man, we look over at that thing and he blows up a little missile underground or something, or throws something into the ocean, and we're thinking, wow, man, this could get really serious really fast. And the truth is that it could get really serious really fast. I mean, look, we got Trump as president. We got Kim Jong-il as the leader of North Korea. You need to pray. Oh, man. We need reconciliation, don't we? And to do that, somebody's going to have to give, right? Somebody is going to have to give. Somebody is going to have to simply say, okay, whether maybe it's in a relationship, you go to your friend and you say, friend, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Or you were wrong, but I'm willing to forgive you. Or something like that. Someone's got to take the initiative and go forth. Well, this is what this passage is all about. This passage starts out after verse 17 and it says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Number one, do you know what that implies? It implies that there is a gulf between us and God. Amen. There is a difference. There is a gap. This is not just simply not seeing eye to eye. This goes a whole lot deeper than not being on the same page, so to speak. Oh, well, you know, me and the Lord, we're just not really on the same page. No, this goes a lot deeper than that. This is one of those gulfs. This is one of those separations that if we looked at like the United States and North Korea or Israel and the Palestinians, then we can see that this is a difference that goes far beyond even that. And we could look at some verses. Look at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. We'll look at just a few. This particular verse is really illustrates what I'm trying to say here. He says in Isaiah 59:1, the prophet says this. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But look at verse 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. I'm telling you, we could continue to go on and on down this particular passage right here. It just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Let me tell you what's going on here. It says, it tells us right here that our sins and our iniquities have separated us from our God, and that's our condition before God. Separation. You know, in the book of Ephesians, we're going to get to that verse in a minute, it actually calls us enemies. That's an amazing thing, how we could be enemies of God. And you might not think in your mind that you're an enemy of God, but when you begin looking at God's definition of sin and God's expectation, and you begin to look at yourself and look at where you stand with God, I think one of the best things that you could ever come to is the realization that you're separated from God. You're not right with God. You're not good with Him. There's some serious problems and some issues between you and God. And this is implied in this verse over here in 2 Corinthians, because it starts out that passage, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. It implies this separation, because then it says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Here is the good news about the reconciliation that God offers. Remember I said, someone's going to have to do some things. Someone's either going to have to surrender. Someone's going to have to give in. And Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ, he took the initiative in order to make reconciliation possible. Now, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't make it possible so that he could be reconciled to you. He made it possible so that you could be reconciled to him. He's not the one who humbled himself and said, hey, man, I was wrong. Everything's cool. Come on back. No, he made a way for you to be reconciled to him. Because look, he wasn't the offender. God wasn't the one who made the mistake. You might say, well, God condemned us all. God did this and God sent this. And you make all these accusations about God. And really, people do that all the time. Well, if God is good and God is love, why this and why that? Making accusations against God. But listen, there are no accusations against God that will stick, because he is perfect. He is holy. He is just. His character is without blemish. And Jesus Christ is without blemish and without spot. Lived here 33 and a half years here on earth and never once sinned. Never once displeased the Father. Never once delved into the human. I'm telling you, He is an awesome God. He's incredible. He's not the one who the fault lies. It lies with you. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know why there's a separation? It's because of your sin. You're hopeless if all you do is continue to be defensive and defend yourself and to justify yourself and to prove yourself. You're hopeless. There's no hope for you if you continue to do that. Because the first step is that you've got to realize that you need reconciliation. You think you need it? Well, I guarantee you need it. And He says that He has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And this is the other amazing thing about reconciliation, is not only that God took the initiative and God made it possible for reconciliation, but He did it through Jesus Christ. Hey, I'll tell you something. He said, I don't remember what the verse was I was going to go to. Jesus Christ is the mediator for sinners. He is the one who is the sacrifice for sinners. His shed blood is the payment price for sinners. The Bible says that He has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. This is probably one of the most offensive things about the gospel to general mankind, is this idea that you have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to. There's no other option. There's no other way. Jesus said, oh, I remember the verse now. It's my memory verse. I am the way, He says, the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know how many people would love to write that out of the Bible, would love to just get rid of this, or would just love to just kind of downplay it. But man, the truth is still there. It's true. You have to go through Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us, what you're saved, it's the power of God. I'm telling you, you have to go to Jesus Christ. Your other, all of your other ideas, your ways to God, they're just no good. They're not going to work. You can pray to a saint, but I guarantee the saint's not going to listen to you, and he's not going to hear you. You can pray to Mary, and she does not have, even if she wanted to, she does not have the capacity to be able to listen to your prayers and to do something about it. By the way, she's really busy right now. A lot of people in heaven, if we read the scriptures right, are really busy. They got a lot to do. They're honoring the Lord. They're glorifying the Lord. They're praising the Lord. They're doing His will. Heaven is a busy, busy place. It's not one of those places where it's just, you know, like you see in the cartoons, the angels with the little halos on their head and the harps, and they're just kind of floating around on clouds, you know, and everything's just kind of... No, I'm telling you something. It is a busy place. It's a noisy place. But we're not preaching about heaven today. We're preaching about reconciliation. You're still down here on earth. You're separated from God. You don't have any hope of getting to Him if He doesn't make a way, but He made a way through Jesus Christ. I want to read to you a couple of verses here. turn to the book of Romans in chapter 5 and verse 1. How do we know all this about what God has done for us? Because we have it here in His Word. Thank God for His Word. It says there in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved from His life. That tells you the contrast here. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to His Son. That's what God has done for us. That's what He wants to do. The verse there opens up and it says God is in the world. He's reconciling people. You see, that's what God is in the business to do for you. What does God want to do for you? What is His great plan for you? Is to reconcile you to Himself. That's what He wants to do. If you haven't been reconciled yet today, I'm telling you, you got it. That should be the highest priority in your life. There should be nothing more important to you than getting things right with God. No, you can't save it for old age. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get it done. You can't save it for later on. You've got to consider this now. And what an opportunity. You're in here now. You got your cell phone turned off. There's no TVs blaring. There's no other things going on. You're listening and you're reading the Word of God. How about now to consider the salvation of your soul? How about now to consider this incredible God that has reconciled you to Himself and that wants to reconcile you to Himself? Look at Colossians, excuse me, in chapter 1, he says, the previous verses are describing all of the attributes of Jesus Christ, and it says there in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, listen, He's talking to you here, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. This is what He wants you to know. That this is how it happened. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He became the perfect sacrifice for your sins. The cross is important. The blood is important. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is important. And He did this for you to make a way to reconcile you to Himself. Now, if you blow that off, what do you have? You've got nothing. You can't ignore what He's done for you. You have to consider what He's done. He has made a way to reconcile you to Himself. See, the next step is yours. You see, He did everything possible to reconcile. You can accuse God all day long of the fact that you're a sinner. But that doesn't hold any water because He's made a way for you to come back. He's made a way for you to make things right. He's made a way. And let me tell you, this sacrifice is so powerful that there is not a sin in the world that a man could commit that would preclude him from being able to come to God and get forgiveness of sins. Anybody, whatever they've done, whatever their sins, I don't care if you've blasphemed His name. You can come to Him, and His offer is He'll give you the forgiveness of sins. He's done that through Jesus Christ. Back in our passage over here, over there in 2 Corinthians, it explains this. It says there in verse 18, it says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what He's done for you. That's his setup. That's what He's done for you. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's why He had to die. That's why He had to shed His blood to give you the opportunity. But now look at the other side of the coin right here for a minute. Because now this is what God has done. Now look at the other side in those verses right there. Look again at verse 18. And in the second half of that verse, after He says that He's reconciled all things to Himself by Jesus Christ, it says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Man, that's a big load. You just let that sink down and think for a minute. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only that, look at verse 19. After He says that He didn't impute their trespasses unto them, and it says He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Then in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Look at what he's laid in the lap. Now, is there anything in this passage right here that says that this is for pastors, evangelists, and elders? Doesn't give the distinction there. Because that's what a lot of churches are. A lot of churches are simply nothing more than a spectator sports. You go and you watch a good show and you watch the professionals do it. That's why we always downgrade professionalism here. Number one, because we don't want any part of it. Number two, because we can't attain to it. We can't sing. We can't dance. We can't, you know, we can't entertain you like the world can entertain you. We can't put movies together. We can't put well, we could do all that, but it would be ineffective because what God has done is he's given a ministry of reconciliation to each and every believer. That means you can bail out right now and think, okay, that message was for the lost people. It really doesn't apply to me. He's given to you the ministry of reconciliation. Not only that, he has committed unto you the word of reconciliation. What's the definition of ministry? What do you think of when you think of ministry? Well, in a government sense, when you have a minister of defense or a minister of economics or something like that, then that's someone who oversees that particular kind of work in that government. There is labor that's involved when it comes to reconciliation. Do you know that we are not mandated to keep our mouths shut and to sit in a corner and play nice when it comes to the ministry of reconciliation? We're supposed to be aggressive. We're supposed to be bold. We're supposed to be out there. It's not one of these deals where we can just simply set aside and wait for somebody to come and talk to us. We have in our responsibility, in our laps, the ministry of reconciliation. That means that if you are reconciled to, and listen, this isn't, I've heard some people describe this almost like a sales course. Like, you know, that you're responsible for presenting the gospel and working things a certain way in order to try to get somebody to make a profession of faith, you know, almost like you're trying to get them to sign on the dotted line. Listen, I'm no salesman for Jesus Christ. I don't have a sales quota. Neither do you. We have a ministry. We have a way of life. This is a way of living. Where you, as a Christian, if you're a Christian and you call yourself a Christian, you have the ministry of reconciliation laid upon your lap, and you have the word of reconciliation. We got a big task. We got a huge task. Those of you that are Christians, we've got a huge task. The world is not reconciled to God. And they need to be. The world needs to be reconciled to God. The world is going absolutely nuts and insane because they have rejected God. And you and I have been given this ministry. It calls us ambassadors. An ambassador does not go apologetically into a foreign country and then tells them apologetically, hey, you know, I'm sorry to have to say this, but this is our stance as far as the United States is concerned. No, an ambassador carries authority. Listen, you should never have to apologize for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should not have to apologize. You shouldn't have to back down. You shouldn't have to try to tone it down or water it down. Listen, the world already has too much of that as it goes. They need some Christians who realize that they have the ministry of reconciliation. The world needs some ambassadors. Hey, are you grateful that he saved you from your sins? Man, do you rejoice and sing those songs like we sang them this morning? Just rejoice in the fact that he has forgiven you. Listen, we all get the same way. We get distracted. We get caught up with all kinds of things. We get so many problems that weigh us down and do all these things. But listen, never forget why you're here on this earth. Never forget why you live. Never forget why you get up in the morning. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ everywhere you go. At your workplace, people need to know about Jesus Christ. Now, you have to do this wisely. There was a Christian one time, and a friend of mine, and he was passing out tracts at work, you know, and stopping people from working, and they ended up firing him. And he came to me, and he said, "Hey, look, I need you to help me. I want to file a discrimination suit against this company because, you know, they fired me because I was a Christian." I said, "Really? What happened?" And he said, "Well, you know," and he started telling me what to do, and I said, "Hey, wait a minute. Were you passing out tracts while you were supposed to be working?" "Well, I said, "No, they didn't fire you for being a Christian. They fired you for being lazy and not doing your job." Hey, you want to make a good impact at work? You want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ at work? I'll tell you, the first thing that you do, punch in on time. Punch in morally, in other words. Don't punch out. I don't know. I've never been to a job where I've had to punch in and punch out, so I really don't know exactly how it works. But if they expect you to be there, be there. If they expect you to be working, work. That's the first thing. Work hard for your employer. What? You guys are looking at me like, what are you talking about, work hard for? Man, I'll press the point even harder. If any man will not work, neither shall he eat. If you're lazy at work, you shouldn't have a meal to come home to. I'm telling you, a Christian should not be a lazy human being. You should be the best worker around or among the best around. You're going to need some clout when you open your mouth to speak for Jesus Christ. I was at a job one time and had a new guy in the company, you know, and it wasn't long before they found out that I was a Christian and everything. And they said, "Oh, man, you got to meet the preacher." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's it." And I was all excited, man. There's another Christian here. So that Friday afternoon, they had a company barbecue. And I thought, man, this is great to get to look at, you know, meet the rest of the people in the company. And so I went to the company barbecue, and there was this guy already half drunk dancing with the boss's wife. And that happened to be the preacher. And I went to him, and I said, "Hey, could you do me a big favor, bud? I said, could you stop telling people you're a Christian, please? Because you're hurting me." And I was embarrassed. For the sake of the gospel, I was embarrassed at his actions. And I had to live what he did. I had to live that down. You're an ambassador at your work for Jesus Christ. Do you realize, man, there are some coworkers that you might get the opportunity to talk to as you're sitting down at break, you know. Y'all are sitting down and drinking water and waiting for the shift to start back up again. Man, there are opportunities there. But you got to be a good worker. You got to be an ethical person. You got to be one who does your job and does it well. Then you're going to have some credit to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's tough. Because it means you're going to have to watch yourself. You can't just fly off the handle and go into a rage at work. And you can't get lazy and you can't. It makes life tough. Your family needs an ambassador. Hey, you know what an ambassador is? It's someone who is in enemy territory. Well, not necessarily enemy territory. It could be a friendly country. But foreign territory. Hey, do you realize that this isn't where we live for eternity? Some people say, "Well, if heaven ain't a lot like Texas, I don't want to go." Idiot. It better be better than Texas. I heard all this talk about Texas, and I finally got stationed here, and I'm thinking, wow, what? This place has got to be amazing. Eh, it's okay. Go to Arizona now. That's a real place. Some of you, I just committed sacrilege. Rawr, desecrated the Texas flag. I'm telling you, man, the Texas flag is not going to be flying in heaven. You are citizens of a better country. You're going to a better place. And oh, man, the economics and the politics of the world are all going to pot. It doesn't affect us. We're citizens of a country where the economics cannot... The economy can't be destroyed where we're going. He said, don't lay up for your treasures here on earth where moth and rust does corrupt. That means that they can corrupt down here. The inference is that if you lay them up in heaven, they don't corrupt up there. I'm telling you, you're citizens of another country. You answer to someone higher than who you answer to right now. You answer to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. You answer to the one who created a method, who thought up a method of reconciliation by which he could take his son and put him on a cross and have him die for the sins of the world and then miraculously raise him up from the grave 3 days later in order to shame the devil, in order to defeat the devil, and to give you an opportunity to be reconciled to him. And then he reconciles you. And then you belong to him. You're him. Lock, stock, and barrel. Man, live for him. Don't be ashamed to be his ambassador. Don't be ashamed. Oh, man, you one of those Christians? Yes, sir, I am. They talk bad about, and they know not to do it now at work when I'm at work, but it used to be at work that they would start taking the name of the Lord in vain, and I'd say, hey, and the first time I heard it, I walked around the corner. I said, did you just say Jesus Christ? I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Hey, man, I was just talking to him this morning. Isn't he awesome? Are you his follower too? Of course, I did it, you know, because I knew what his reaction was going to be. He'd be like, well, by the way you were talking and taking his name, I thought maybe you were in love with him too, like I am. He's a cool, isn't he? Look what he's done for us. And of course, they get all bent out of shape. Listen, don't be ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed of what he's done for you. You're an ambassador. Be authoritative. That's the right way you say that word. Be bold. Don't back down. Stand up. You think the world is backing down right now? They're not backing down. They are going full steam ahead. They are having their pride parades. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And they're in our face. Well, we can get in their face too. And not just for simply a little reason. But this is reconciliation. Because right now, God is still reconciling people to himself. He's still doing it right now. I pulled into a gas station yesterday, got on almost to the gas, not yesterday, it was Friday, got almost to the gas pump and the thing went out. And I'm like, and then they call me a hoarder, you know? All these panicked people. No, man, I wasn't panicked. I really did need gas. I was on eighth of a tank. I just happened to pull in. There's all these other people there. I'm telling you, that's not going to happen with God. There's still opportunity right now. You go to him right now, he's going to say, I'm sorry, all out of forgiveness right now. No, go to him right now. But listen, you got to go now. You gotta come to him now. He has provided a way. He has made a way for you. It says it excellent in verse 20. We'll close with this. This is the way Paul says it. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. You see, this isn't just Brian talking. This is the word of God. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Okay, maybe you visited this church before, you've heard messages before, but really, take just a second, take stock of your heart. Where do you stand before God? If you're lost, you're unreconciled, man, if there's something that I could do to convince you to become reconciled to God, I would do it. But he's there for you. He's ready, and he's willing to forgive you if you'll come to him today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus.